Very good morning to you, my dear listeners, and welcome to Eagle FM. And hey, it's the last week of the month of May, and I can't believe that next week it's already June. Well, the year is really, really running fast, and I don't know what it's chasing. So, but it's really, really running fast. Thanks for joining us this morning. Our time is about 37 minutes past the hour of 7, and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. My name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is the show where we dive deep into the stories, events, and issues that shape our world. This show is all about breaking down the headlines, exploring the context behind the news, and understanding how it impacts our lives, whether it is the latest development in politics, business, culture, or social issues. We are here to make sense of all it together. So, but it's not just us doing the talking. It is about you. Share your thoughts, opinion, and perspectives on the topic that matter most to you. This is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. It's a Tuesday morning, the 27th of May. The year is 2025. And what happened on this day in Africa on the 27th of May? So on the 27th of May, 2010, the People's Charter Movement in Lesotho delivered a petition with 30,000 signatures to South African High Commission, requesting that Lesotho become part of South Africa. So this movement reflects ongoing regional political dynamics around Southern Africa for integration debates in Southern Africa. So, and May 27, 1972, the African Liberation Day was commemorated in various parts of the world. This day was marked by speeches and events aimed at highlighting the struggles against colonialism, against colonialism and apartheid in Africa. And also in Nigeria, May 27 is celebrated annually as Children's Day. So this day is dedicated to honoring children and raising awareness about issues affecting them. So various events, including parades and educational activities, are organized across the country to celebrate the importance of children in society. I think we need a day like this. The Children's Day, especially given what is happening in our society, so many children are being raped and killed. I think we need a day like this, you know, Children's Day, that actually raise honoring the children and raise awareness about issues affecting the children. So in Nigeria today is Children's Day. So, yeah. So what is the thought for the day? The thought for the day for the May 27th. So if we stand tall, it is because we stand on the shoulders of many ancestors. So if we stand tall, it is because we stand on the shoulders of many ancestors. So the proverb underscores the profound influence of our forebears on our current achievement and identity. So it emphasizes that our success are not solely our own, but are built upon the foundation laid by those who came before us. So this saying, this proverb serves as a reminder of the importance of acknowledging and honoring the contribution of previous generation. So it encourages humility, recognizing that our progress is a continuation of the efforts and sacrifices and wisdom of our ancestors. So in essence, this proverb calls for a deeper respect for our heritage and understanding that our individual and collective journeys are intertwined with the legacies of those who paved the way. So now the Proverbs invite us to reflect on our roots, appreciate the interconnectedness of generations, and strive to contribute positively to the legacy we will leave for future generations. That we should always be, you know, consider or have in our mind, in the back of our mind, the kind of future we leave for future generations. So if we stand tall, it is because we stand on the shoulders of many ancestors. That's our thought for the day today. That also, looking forward to what we celebrate, what we will remember tomorrow, what we will commemorate tomorrow as well. It's also in line with that. So good morning to you. If you're just joining us, and welcome. This is Unpacking the Day. And so when we come back, so we get into the stories of the day. So we got into what the items that we're going to look into for today. So stay tuned. We'll be back.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsie Nehangano, the Osherero Omaimburiro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Sing Voor Diere, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-23-58-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Well, Wiltshire University, September intake 2025. All programs are fully accredited by the NQA. Certificate in Health Science Foundation, Level 4, a one-year program, full-time, all campuses, certificate for enrolled nurses, midwife, Acacia, Level 6, a two-year program, full-time in Windhoek, Kurenkuru, Kompat, Wavish Bay, Katima Mulilo, and Otapi. Diploma in Environmental Health Science, Level 6, two-year program, full-time in Windhoek, a Bachelor of Nursing and Midwifery Science Honours, a four-year program, full-time in Windhoek, Kurenkuru, Kompat, Wavish Bay, and Katima Mulilo. Postgraduate Diploma in Mental Health Nursing, Level 8, one-year program, full-time in Windhoek. Postgraduate Diploma in Community Health Nursing, Level 8, a one-year program, a full-time in Windhoek. And the application period started on the 1st of May and it will end on the 30th of June 2025. So for more information, call 061-225463, 061-225463 or 061-225462. Well, Vichia University, where everyone is an achiever. Well, welcome to Unpacking the Day, if you're just joining us. And and if you're just joining us, our time right now is 47 minutes past the hour of seven. And it's always a pleasure for us to be in your company. All right. So today what we're going to do, we're going to look at some of our stories in the villages. So we're going to look at two of our stories in the villages. One quite of interesting one that we need to look at. So we need to talk about something that has been, if you like, brewing in our capital street, you know, and a story that actually touches the very heart of what it means actually to survive in modern Namibia. So just over a week ago, the sound of a warning shot echoed through Vernon Lee Street in our CDB in Windhoek. So it wasn't for a crime scene. It was from our city police dealing with the street vendors trying to make a living. So this incident has opened up a can of worms that goes far deeper than just where someone can sell their goods, really. So this morning, we are diving into the complexities of Operation My City, My Pride, and what it really means for ordinary Namibian trying to put food on their table. So this is an article in yesterday's edition of the Villager by Ngino Menmavali Rastus. So yeah, and if you want to get a free copy of your free copy digital copy of the Villager, make sure that you subscribe to the Villager. All what you need to do is actually send a WhatsApp message with your email and number to 081-241-44, 081-241-44. So that's where you just need to send. What is happening to me? All right. So that's where you send your number, your email, your email and number to subscribe for the digital copy of The Villager. And today we're focusing on the two stories, in our villager today. So now let me paint you a picture of what is happening in your city. If you live in Windhoek, in your city center. So on one side, we have a formal business of business owners, people who have, people who have invested their life saving into shops and storefronts, paying rent and license and taxes. So they are complaining that street vendors are blocking their entrance, making it difficult for customers to access their stores. So I get it. If you are paying thousands of dollars in rent for a prime location, definitely you don't want someone setting up ShopRite at your doorstep for free. So yeah, but on the other side, we have vendors, mostly our mothers, our sisters and probably our neighbors who wake up every morning not knowing where their next meal actually come from. So these are people who have turned to the street, not because they have a choice, but by necessity. So when formal employment is scarce and unemployment is high, as we know in our country, well, selling fat cook, you know, sweets and phone cards, you know, on the street becomes a lifeline for many. The city of Windhoek now launched an operation called My City, My Pride on May 13th, targeting what they called illegal street trading in Zone 14. So, before we go further, let me be clear here about what illegal means here. So, the city has designated a specific area where vendors can trade legally. All right? So they have converted parking bays into numbers, demarcated trading space. So the problem, some vendors are choosing to trade outside these areas, particularly along now the Vernon List Street, you know, in the CBD, where informal trading is prohibited under the town planning scheme. So that's what we refer to as illegals here, okay? So, and here is where the things now get really serious, my dear listeners. On May 19th, the city police officers encountered two vendors on Vernon List Street who were trading in a prohibited area. So when asked to relocate or pay an 500 fine, these vendors actually refused. So their trolleys were confiscated. What is it? Confiscated. Yeah, their trolleys were confiscated. And according to official reports, they resisted and obstructed the officers. So that's according to the article. So what happened? Should really concern every Namibian. I think it should concern every Namibian. A city police officer fired a warning shot into the air. So in Vernon List, if you know where the Vernon List is, you know, it's that street between, the Catholic hospitals and Metropolitan, you know, that passes through ShopRite there. That's Vernon List street. So in that, imagine, you know, the city police officers fired a warning shot into the air. And think about that for a moment, you know. We're talking about a situation involving people selling goods on the street that escalated to the point where a firearm was drawn, you know. So the city spokesperson called it it's a safety precaution, not an act of aggressions. So, but we have some, when the landless people, you remember the landless people also movement and the affirmative repositioning, the AR, they have condemned what they are calling, they condemn that, are calling it an act of brutality against innocent street vendors. They have condemned that. So, and now let's talk about now the law, because this is where many people get confused. Now, so we have to understand that. So according to the city's business registration regulations, anyone caught trading illegally, I have explained that already, can face a fine up to 2,000 or in prison, either can face a fine of up to 2,000 or imprisonment for up to 6 months or both. So always have, the law has always this or both. So, and definitely that's not a pocket change for someone who's already struggling to make an ends meet. 2,000, you know. So the city of Windhoek, the city of Windhoek currently operates 18 open markets and has allocated temporary trading sites to try to accommodate vendors. Now, they have created what they call a viable project that maintains acceptable, you know, hygiene and safety standards. So while allowing now people to trade legally. So on paper, this sounds reasonable. Provide legal spaces for vendors while maintaining order in the city. So, but here's the disconnect. This is where it now disconnect. If you are a vendor and you know that the spot in front of ShopRite, get more foot traffic, then you're assigned bay three blocks away, you know, what would you do? What would you do? If your survival depends on selling a five worth of sweet a day, $5 worth of sweet a day, won't you go where the customers are? Now, we're talking reality here. Wouldn't you? So what we are witnessing here in this article is not just about municipal bylaws or town planning schemes, you know. This is about dignity. It's about survival. It's about the fundamental question of who has the right to occupy public space. So when the affirmative repositioning's Commerce Regional Chairperson talks about hustling mothers trying to make an honest living being subjected to brutality, he's actually highlighting something crucial. These are criminals. These are not criminals we are dealing with. So we are not dealing with some criminals here. And the Landless People Movement has called for the immediate suspension and disciplinary action against the officers involved and demand a transparent investigation into ongoing police misconduct against the vendors, because that's something that has been going. This is not the first time, but well, when you draw now firearms and shoot in the air, that's probably the first stories that we're hearing. Now, so they describe the police action as dehumanizing and violation of the dignity and socioeconomic of vulnerable citizens. Now, these are not just political sound bites. So they are touching on a fundamental human rights issues, definitely. So now let's zoom out for a moment. Okay. So the article mentioned that Namibia continued to grapple with higher unemployment and leading many to turn to informal trading. So now this is the elephant in the room that we need to address. When it comes to this, this is the bigger picture. So this is the elephant we need, elephant in the room that we need to address. When former jobs are scarce, people don't just sit at home and starve. People just don't sit at home and starve. So they find ways to survive. Street vending become an economic lifeline for thousands of families. So many families are actually surviving from that. So the informal economy is not going away. Believe me, it's not going to go away just because we pass a bylaw against it. It's not going to go away. It's actually a symptom of much larger economic challenges that our country faces. So according to the latest statistic, unemployment in Namibia has remained you know, how do you call it? How do they call it? Yesterday, who is that? Likokela called it stubbornly, higher. So stubbornly higher. So particularly, we know among women and also among the youth. Yeah. So for many vendors, selling on the street is not a career choice. So it is a survival. So it is a survival for many. So, but then we have to, is there a middle ground? So where we, you know, the city says, its priority is to maintain order and safety in the CBD, and while also providing opportunity for informal traders. Now, they have emphasized that they want to support vendors without disrupting the urban framework. So, well, this sounds like they have tried to find a balance, but the question is whether their approach, is it working? So that's the question. Is the approach working? So the designated trading areas are, I think, I step in the right direction, of course. But clearly, they are not meeting the needs of all vendors. When vendors consistently choose to trade illegally rather than use the legal space provided, we need to ask why. Are these spaces accessible? Do they have adequate foot traffic? Do they have actually people walking, you know, in this area? Are the rental fees affordable? Are there enough space for everyone who needs them? So, and those are the issues. So where sometimes you ask people to go, there are no space. It could be not, it might not be affordable. There are no people, you know. So, and to add to that, the city application process for trading space can take up to 3 months. And there is a waiting list system that only valid for 12 months. So for someone, say for example, for someone who needs to start earning money tomorrow to feed their family, these timelines might as well be forever. So, yeah, what is the path forward? So I think here's the thing, all right? We can't police our way out of poverty. Someone told me that. we can't police our way out of policy. Out of poverty. So every time we confiscate a vendor's trolley, we are not just taking away their goods. We are taking away their means of survival. So every warning shot fired represents a failure of a system to create economic opportunity for our people. It's not just about law and order. What does it say? That every warning shot fired represents that the system have failed to create economic opportunity for our people. So the city of Windhoek says they will not allow the city to descend into lawlessness. And one can understand that. And I understand that concern. So a city need order. Business needs to operate freely. You know, public safety must be maintained. But we also can't allow our response to poverty to become criminalization of survival. We can't allow that. So what we need is a more nuanced approach, you know, that recognize the legitimate need of both, like the former, the shop right of this world, the former business, and also the informal traders. So this means better communication or better consultation with vendors, with vendor associations, more strategic placement of designated trading areas so that people have access to foot traffic, you know, affordable fees if those spaces need to pay something, so that a person can be able to get something out of it as well, get some profit out of it. So, and also the faster application process. So it means treating vendors and this is very important. It means that, and how do we treat the vendors? Do we treat them as criminal or as economic partners? So treating vendor as partners in the economy. So you treat vendors as a partner in the economy rather than actually problem to be solved. So now the police, when they treat the vendors, they treat them as a problem to be solved rather than as what? As partners in economy. That's how they should be treated. So, well, the scene at Van and Liszt Street, I think it should be a lesson. It's a lesson from what we see on the street. So this incident on Van and Liszt Street is a small scale version, if you like. It's a small scale version of the challenges facing urban Namibia, not only Windhoek but other places as well. It's about more than just where people can sell their goods. It's about economic inclusion that, you know, you look at that you include everybody. It's about social justice. It's about how we treat our most vulnerable citizens. You know, during elections, we treat them with that respect and all that. But after that, you know, this is what they get. And these are the people who have voted us. These are the people who have voted you. Sometimes these big businesses that you're protecting haven't even shown up in the line of voting. You know? Yeah. The political party condemning the police actions are actually tapping into the real frustration about how the poor are treated in our society. So when people feel that the system is stacked against them, when they see law enforcement being used to protect the interests of the wealthy while criminalizing the survival strategies of the poor, it breeds resentment. It breeds social tensions. So those are things that we should consider. Now, what happened on Van and Liszt Street? It didn't happen in a vacuum. That's what I'm trying to say. It is the result of it's a result of competing pressures, you know, inadequate consultation that, you know, these are people that are not consulted, and perhaps a failure to truly understand the lived realities of informal traders. So, and as I mentioned earlier, the Landless People Movement is calling for a clear engagement of vendor association, trade unions and social movements. So in reviewing now the informal trading bylaws and that's exactly what we need. I think that's exactly what we need. So we need honest dialogue between the city and the formal business and the vendors themselves as well, and the city and civil societies, organizations. So we need to move beyond the current circle of crackdowns, you know, cracking downs and resistance, to find more a suitable solution that work for everyone. I think we need to come to that. So, and well, the city have shown, I mean, from the article, the city have shown it can be flexible. After all, they resolved the Vernalist Street incident with a warning rather than actually arrest them. So they did engage with the vendor committee representatives. So, and that suggests there is a room for a more collaborative approach. So, yeah, I want you to think about this. So every society faces the choices of how to treat its most vulnerable members. So do we see informal trader as a problem to be managed, as I said earlier, or do we see them as entrepreneurs to be supported? And that's the key of this discussion. Do we see the informal traders as a problem to be managed in the way that has been managed, or we see them as entrepreneurs that need to be supported? So do we respond to poverty? Now think of this really and think this deep. Do we respond to poverty with punishment or with partnership? How do we, in this way, and even he said that this should not be seen as a punitive, shouldn't be seen as a punishment. It is a punishment. So the question is, do we respond to poverty? Because this is an issue of poverty. Do we respond to poverty with punishment or with partnership? So the vendors of Vernalist Street will be back tomorrow. They will be back tomorrow because they have to. I'm telling you, they have to. Why? Their children need to eat. Their rent needs to be paid. And their dignity need to be preserved. They will be back. And they have to. So the formal business will continue to face the challenges of operating in developing economy. So the city will continue to grapple with the competing demand of order and inclusion. They will. So the question for all of us is, what kind of city do we want Windhoek to be, Wavish Bay to be, Swakopmund to be, Oshakati to be, Rundu to be? So one way, do we want where the warning shot to resolve commercial dispute? Or one where dialogue and understanding pave the way for solution that work for everyone? So I want us to keep the conversation. I want to hear from your thoughts. And remember, so these streets belong to all of us. After this.
Need lightning fast internet? Paratus has you covered. The network Namibia relies on. Whether for business or pleasure, Paratus' cutting edge technology ensures both reliable and speedy internet connectivity. We exist to serve your needs through our high quality network and pride ourselves in offering client service excellence. Connect to Paratus today. Visit us online at Paratus.africa/Namibia or call us on 083-300-1000.
All right, welcome back. And if you're just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day, live on Eagle FM. So, yeah. And we're looking at the vendors on Vernalist that has been cracking down by the city police, in which the firearms was used. The shot was actually in the air, but that incident became something that has been condemned by some political parties. And also, we find that article in yesterday's edition of the Villager, and we just were looking at some of the we're unpacking that you know, and understand really the concerns and issues that come emanating from incident like that. So, yeah, you are most welcome to come through now and add your views and your opinion and your contribution generally and the things that I'm asking, really, that we need to think very, very, very deep. So, and I said, so is that, you know, we need to have a choice. We really need to make a choice. We need to face the choice of how do we treat, really, how do we treat the most vulnerable people in our society? So how do we see the informal traders? Do we see them as a problem? Because in the way we deal with them, in the way how the actually normally city police or police sometimes deal with the, with informal trader, they deal with them as a problem that need to be managed. So rather than, and remember, as I said, in the, with unemployment, with all the poverty, so, or do we treat them as entrepreneurs? These are entrepreneurs that need to be supported. These are people who are doing something, you know, instead of going and steal. These are people who are doing something that actually need to be supported. You know? So, or do we respond, you know, this is now the question that I'm asking. And this is where maybe our discussion can focus. So do we respond? And it's not only for Windhoek, but it's how generally how, you know, and where we found our vendors, where we found our vendors located, you know. Do we respond to poverty with punishment or with partnership? These are the people that we actually need to partner up with, you know, and help them. So, and as one thing I said, I lived in that area, you know, I had a business, I used to run a business around that area. So they will be back. They keep coming back for years. So they will be back tomorrow. They will be back the next day. So because they have to be. And I said they have to be. Okay? Because their children need to eat. They need to pay rent. Okay? So they will be back. So all what we need to do is really to, you know, to find a way that we understanding, you know, to where we can find a way to pave the way for solution that work for everyone, you know. So do come through. Our telephone number is 08333-66091, 08333-66091. So we unpacking a story by Nino Menavali Erastus on the issue of vendors. It's actually vendors in Windhoek. So where there's a battle, I'll call this a battle for Windhoek Street. So a battle for Windhoek Street when survival meets, you know, the law. So that's a battle when those who have to survive meet the law. So yeah, do come through. Our telephone number again, 08333-66091, 08333-66091. So what is your opinion? What is your view on this issue?
Listen to Eagle FM in Lodritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build. Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome to Eagle FM. And so if wherever you are, whether in your office, what you can do, you can, continue to listen to Eagle FM. What you need to do is just, you can listen to through a website. And also, you can download the Eagle FM mobile app, and you will be able now to listen to Eagle FM wherever you are, wherever you find yourself in and outside of the country as well. So, and what you need to do is just to download, the Eagle FM app, and you will have access to news, to your favorite shows, and also to more and more, much more features on the app itself. And as I said, and I always said, those who are looking for jobs, sometimes you find vacations there as well. So job opportunities there as well. So do that. And,
Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, that's Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself, Mandube?
I'm all right, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, that's, I thought, you got a letter. And probably you are becoming an ambassador of France or something.
Oh, something. Hey, that's a dream come true, my friend. Ah, we wish.
No, what you need to do, you have to, you know, when there are political rallies, you should be
there.
You show up and you are the one who's shouting, Aluta! Aluta!
Sometimes you may show up and you get the slap of what mix. you receive one.
So, and then next time you're on the list, you're actually in the pot,
Hi, Mike, your frequency here is still jumping up and down.
Oh.
I listened to you when you're talking about the society and so on, but later on.
Yeah.
Because the frequency is not okay, man, up to now.
Yeah, yeah.
And also,
yeah.
Maybe because of we are using app and we have a lot of things with download. You might just, without even complete, listening to the whole program, your data are finished.
We understand. So definitely, probably so. Our good people probably doing things, to see the change in the future. But for now, that's what we have. Yeah.
What are you talking about today?
Oh, you didn't even hear anything.
No, I listened to it, but I was listening to the radio.
Yeah.
I think where I was standing, there was a bit of what?
Yeah.
Up and down. It's coming, it's go out, it's like that.
Yeah, no, it's basically cracking downs of the vendors in Windhoek. And then at last week, there was an incident where the firearm was used. A person, one of the city police, actually shoot in the air to calm down the situation and all that. That has caused some, reaction from even some political parties condemning that. and also the brutality of police in general. So,
yeah.
But my point here today, what I'm looking at is that it's really something that as a Namibian, we need to look at. When we look at now the vendors, do we look at them as a problem that need to be managed, or do we look to them as entrepreneurs that need support? You know?
Yeah.
And if we have to solve poverty, if we are actually have to solve poverty, how do we solve that? Do we solving by thinking that doing all this would actually solve them, or do we have to find a way that accommodate all of the vendors, the business, other business also accommodate them as well? So that's the whole thing that I'm asking, that we need to think this seriously, because this is about survival. These people don't choose to be on the street. They just try to survive.
You know? Mike, the topic which you bring up,
yeah,
is the most important one, because look at the politician which we have in today.
Yeah.
Or even people who are representing us in the National Assembly. Look, all of them, they come from what? Home, where, unless some of them, they are lucky, their father been a pastor or whatever. And they remember, the pastor, they used to get anything from the community those days.
Yeah.
They will become rich and so on. Because their kids, they have to go to even to be sent to one of the best schools, even in Yoshiambo and the St. Mary.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about the position which we have currently now. Those who are born in 1960. They get opportunity because some of them, their business, mother business, Kapana sellers. You talk about, yeah, but today they don't want that anybody to do with a Kapana.
Yeah.
They would, I'm telling you, they want even just to stay where you create a kabasho, where nobody can come to buy it. But did they create any market at all for these people? Not at all. Yeah. Look, how many times we complain about the Lama tax?
Actually, the other issue is that, to add to that, just remind me of what you're saying. So there are demarcation that has been, spaces that have been created, but that spaces is normally far from traffic, from foot traffic, from where the people are. So that's why people come to sell their stuff in front of ShopRite, in top of Pick and Pay. You know?
My friends, you're living in Ondangwa.
Yeah.
Do you see where the Matala of Ndangwa is this?
Exactly.
At the least, people are now, they're able to go there, but it usually have to be along the road, which is nearby. I can just, the moment I'm filling up my car or passing by, I can go and grab my tomato there, or my shungo or whatever. Now, I have to divert the way to go all the way to go to that Matala. Look at the Oshakati. Look at where I come from, Oshkango.
Yeah.
My friend. And then the inside thing is that there's nothing. Yeah. I don't know why Elana fit this thing to remove those people from Katiti to where they are today.
Yeah.
And apart from even shopping centers.
Yeah, sometimes.
The moment I withdraw my 100, do you think I have to take a taxi again to go to Matara?
Exactly, yeah.
You see, those are problems we are creating ourselves. At the end of the day, somebody used to send his kids to university using that money which is collecting from either selling firewood or Kapana or anything. At the end of the day, you divert the Matara far from the people, far from the market, shopping centers. So, and this is what is happening in Windhoek.
Yeah.
Look, we have a window here where maybe even selling at the construction site where they see the people are building, maybe they are going there with their Kapan and so on. And guess who's coming for them? Seats of window. Still police. But just imagine, this person is making money just even to bring, to put a bread on table, to buy his kit, clothing, you name it. The list can go on. And there may be even like a 10 sibling depending on that person who's selling the Kapan only.
Exactly.
That's a problem which you are creating ourselves. And this country is what I'm saying. everything, every business which we see in Namibia, it is that small. But in our government, they don't want anybody hustling. They want everybody to be a millionaire.
Mm.
And they can, you can have immunity. Once you're a millionaire, you have immunity. You are almost to do, and you are everything, every door is open for you.
Mm.
But the moment you start hustling small, they are all coming on you with a funny stuff like you name it, institution which they are controlling. Even if you will come to paperwork, there are so many things complicating for a person to take off in Namibia.
Just to get that little space, the process it takes a long time.
I'm telling you, my brother.
Yeah. So actually, the system perpetuates poverty, which you're trying to solve.
Very much.
Yeah. And
this is all what I'm telling you. We are not about to be poor the way we are. Yeah. But the problem is that the government is the one making sure that you are not going to reach your target, I mean, your dream.
Mm.
Not in this country. That's why some of us, we are prefer, because some of us, we are not looking at ourselves, but we are looking at the long vision of this country, where you are looking for your son, not our son anymore, our grandson, or our granddaughter, to live in this country, and the way we having a natural resource, we are not doing anything to Namibian people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm talking about even uranium, which we are selling. We are deferred in the whole world, my friend.
Mm.
But do you see any reflection of the uranium in our country at all?
Yeah.
When it comes to our natural resource. But seriously speaking, when it comes to City of Window, they need to do something. Look, go to Stop and Shop today, where you can see mostly all the products are there.
Yeah.
The space is very small. You know where you are. And to make it matter worse even, they create some matala behind the what? This side of, if you're bending window.
Yeah.
Just imagine this side of clinic. It's where they put your matala. And they group all the people together with the same product.
Mm.
How do one person to make to going to sell if the one is going to sell only the one who is unknown?
Yeah. Actually, even when the people, this is, when you look at I used to manage one of the merchandise in the middle of the town, you know.
Yeah.
The Catholic bookshop, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and we what we used to do is that when the police comes, these people just come into our yard, then they can't touch them.
You see?
Because now they're in a private property.
Property, exactly.
Yeah.
You see?
So that's what we used to do. So whenever, and they ask me that, okay, when the police come, they run into the yard, and then, you know, the police then cannot be able to come
they
in.
They cannot come in, yeah.
They cannot be able to come in there. Later on, the police actually came to talk to us and said, look, you guys are hiding people.
You know, they must not land in here. Yeah, you see now.
Yeah. So, but really, these people, they are not they are not in a way where they are disturbing. They are, a person is just sitting somewhere, really neat. The things are neat and are set up nicely.
No.
It's not something that look ugly or something.
Not at all.
You know, and
You know, Michael, the thing is that I think the shop is the one who is giving the instruction to us.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, even
The guys in the office, and the one in the office is giving direct to the what?
Yeah.
To the guys on the ground.
Yeah.
So this guy on the ground, really, we cannot really say whatever. But the people who are in the office, especially even when it comes to the what? The minister of what? Not communication, the minister was involved in the business.
Yeah.
They are the one who's supposed to make sure that, you know, our people are given a chance. Look, go to Chinatown today. Look where our people are selling their derivatives.
Mm.
In the pavement. And you have a Chinese who have been given, a shop, and the upstairs is the way he live.
Yeah.
What about to create or they also mix with Namibian, because we know that people are going there as a Namibian because it's very cheap for them to buy whatever they want. And then at the end of the day, Namibian also, they are getting customers because they make it easier.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean now you are having a wedding, you are going to buy your suit. And now you come to you cross with this meme who say you're selling also a derrera. You might pick up more, three or four, because you're having a wedding. But if it didn't make me staying in one, Kuryongava, in the Kabasu somewhere in the location where, before you reach there, the phone is gone.
Yeah.
A person giving a direction. Do you think it's going to have more customer if I lose my phone there?
Yeah. I just imagine the people around there are not her customer anyway. You know, it's a waste of
wherever, marketing.
She can spend the day in, day out there because the people around there are not your customers. These are not your prospect customers that you're looking for. Your prospect are in town. They are.
I'm telling you, my brother.
You
know?
Yeah.
Look, our government, when you are talking about solving the problem of high unemployment, there are a lot of ways to solve this issue of people who are, a lot of people who are getting graduating near the end of the street. Look here. We have guys who are doing what? Up forest. They are making a lot of beautiful, chauffeur in the table and you name it. But, you know, these guys, they are just learning to individual. If I go there, I give him my designer.
Yeah.
He's doing it for me. But, look, we have a big shop, we have a furniture shop. Why they don't procure from the local?
Yeah.
There's supposed to be a directive of that. No, if it are people are able to do this, there's no more thing coming from outside.
Yeah.
Why we cannot do that? Because now you keep a guy who's a graduate, is paying those offers instead of paying him in 13,000 cash, he's paying for 24 months.
Yeah.
And is your paying double. That is a job already there. Because once you say, no, guys, I'm going to give you even a place like Lamatex.
Yeah.
Produce much as you can. There's a market for you. Yeah. Do you think the people are not going to regulate a lot of people? Do you think the guy who's graduate from VTC doing backyard mechanic, if you give him a big space, it's not going to regulate a lot of people. Now, even if you go around the road, my friend, you go down to Chomusete, you see these guys, they are standing what? Under the tree.
Yeah.
Where if they take off an engine, then sometimes you don't find your part, the car have to be towed.
As you said, there are these people like graduates who actually starting to be innovative and designing their stuff. And then imagine, I don't understand even the business, the property owners, in the business centers. You find that much of these centers, this mall, they rather have them empty than, they are all empty than actually asking a higher price of renting. You understand?
I'm telling you. Yeah.
So we come, you come to most of, shop, when you talk about them, for example, go
to Town Square now and then you see.
The malls are empty.
Then you see.
The malls are empty.
It's empty.
They will prefer actually having it empty than actually, you know, lower the price, which is affordable to people to do business.
Mike, if you see, people are not interested to give you opportunity for you to grow. Yeah. That's why wherever they are building a mall, they always have this shop coming in. This shop is given to, people are going to give it, to be given a preference. It's just one who unknown already. You can come up with a good idea and say, no, I'm having this and I'm having money. They will tell you, no, this is already taken. I'm telling you, this is what is happening. Mostly where they are building mall, just those shops which are already unknown, they are the one who taking it, giving a chance first.
Yeah.
But you can come and say, no, I'm having a 20 tax shop and I'm able to lend this, place because I want to have a big market here. Then I'm able to supply my tax shop from through here. They will not allow you. They will prefer somebody with a name unknown already to the people.
Yeah. Just as you said, the members who are in the street here, when you end on Dangwe here, you find members, they are having their dressing and on, just hanging on the trees in the street, not even on the street, along the road.
So, I'm telling you.
While the mall are empty, you know, where you could say, you can rent this for this how much, and then now they are actually expose their business to a large number of people who come to do shopping there.
So, I'm telling you, it's supposed to be that way. Do you think it's normal for you to not like go to place like what Marwa Mall, and you don't find even a local Losolanda who they are selling like a Jingu, Caterpillar, not Caterpillar, but yeah, Omongu.
Yeah.
Caterpillar, yeah. I think. Mm. Omongu, Ongen, Nomavand.
Yeah.
Because they are not, those guys, they are not willing to give a space for those local people. Mm. They require somebody if they come from like maybe Indian, who can put up a restaurant there. You see? Always our preference, and this is what our government also doing, the same with what they are doing to, the municipalities are doing to our local. Government is doing the same, giving a preference to foreign investment.
Yeah.
Yeah, always they are looking outside. Why never give a chance to Namibian people who are already even well established?
Mm.
And it is what is happening. Because now, look, the way I'm talking even the franchise, why we don't go to the local people, because you know them, then we give them a chance to what? To supply even the government franchise.
Yeah.
Mm. Or why we don't give it to the guys who are doing panel beta to panel beta the car of the government in Katutura. But if your car is then by private one, you don't take it away so much expenses away like a clean coupe. I mean, they take it to what? Ombili.
Yeah.
To be panel beaten there. Because it's cheaper and the guy's doing the job, which is then done to clean coupe guys, which are charging almost the half of the price of the car.
Mm.
And this is what is happening. And I don't know why. And when you are talking about growing in local, how do you grow a local if you are not meeting the people halfway? And it's what is happening to our, because the money cannot stay in our country to circulate. The money is taken away. This side is Indian, this side is Chinese. Yeah. Look, if you are allowing even a person who's graduate from IT, fixing the cell phone, is competing with the Indian, who've been in the business for more than even 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when you are buying your supplier to fix your phone, your cell phone, tax shop which you put up, and the Indian is following you in the location.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
Yeah.
They support the policy.
Mm.
All right.
All right, Mr. Mantume.
Okay, thanks, man.
Okay,
but great. Guys, man, fix the frequency, man. We are missing a lot.
All right. No, we'll see what happens. Yeah.
all right, my brother.
Okay, great. Mm.
Sure.
Mm.
All right. Our telephone number is 08333660 91 08333660 91 All right. So please, so you just bear with us. So definitely, at the moment, download the app and then, or if you are in the office or wherever, listen through your website.
Do you urgently need cash and happen to own a car? Creditors delaying and contractors need to be paid? When life throws you a rainy day, AutoCash got your back. Park your car and get up to 45% off its value within 45 minutes. No payslip, no bank statement, just the car. Moolah when you need it. Call us today on 061-400-676. That is 061-400-676. Auto Cash, it's that simple.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Well, if you're just joining us, a very good morning to you. And you are on Eagle FM, and this is Unpacking the Day. So our time is about 46 minutes past the hour of 8, and the whole program goes up to 9:30 this morning. I'm Michael Sovelli, and I will be with you until then. Yeah, as I said, today we're looking at some of the article that has been covered. We looked at one of the issue of cracking down of the vendors in Windhoek. And so there's another one. There's another article in yesterday's edition of the Villager. Which is actually about the basic income grant pilot in Ochivero Mitara. This an article in yesterday's edition of the Villager by Dwight Links. Yeah. So now think of this. I wanted you to imagine, imagine a village transformed overnight by a simple monthly payment, transformed overnight by a simple monthly payment, only to fall back again into despair when it ended. So what does this experiment really teach us about poverty, about dignity, and the choices we make as a society? So let's dive into the story and highlight some of the things maybe we can learn from this experiment. Yeah. So let's put it into act, because let's look into faces. Okay. So to understand it better, to understand the article better and the issues, better as well. So you're most welcome to come through if you want to if your app, for example, if your mobile app, the Eagle FM FM mobile app is not hearing, tittering or tattering or something. What you need to do can just actually maybe refresh it or just re-download it, and that would definitely help. Sometime if it's not playing, you might have an old version which is not playing correctly, so you need to re-download it or upgrade it so that you have the latest versions. So these things happen. All right. So yeah, because someone called and said even the app is not clear enough, it's not playing well. So that those are some of the tips that you can follow to make sure that it function properly. All right. So let's look at this story. The story by Dwight Links on a basic income grant pilot in Ochivero Omitara. This is because of the report on this. So now, let's divide it into a different phase, first let's have a first phase. Like, I want you to picture this in 2007. So picture Ochivero in 2007, a settlement of plastic shacks, where hunger was constant companion of hunger was a constant companion of the people living there, and hope for someone having the hope for those people was a luxury. To have a hope that things would change was a luxury, you know. Then in January 2008, something revolutionary happened. Every resident under the age of 60, under 60, started receiving 100 a month. Okay? So every resident under the age of 60, started to receive 100 a month, you know? No string attached. So there was nothing, no string attached. It was everyone got $100. So the basic income grant, a pilot backed now by, you know, of course, by the churches, unions and NGOs as well. So they backed that. So now the result, it was, staggering. It was really struggling. Poverty rate halved from 76% to 37%. So from 76% to 37% in just 1 year. All right. That's a pilot just in 1 year. So halved already 37%. Now families bought as I said at the beginning, they were living in this, plastic, shacks and things like that. But now, so they were able to buy corrugated iron to replace their flimsy plastic roofs. You know, kids who never seen a classroom, suddenly they matched to school in uniforms. Mothers started bakeries, fathers repair shoes, you know, excuse me, father repair shoes, and crime, the crime, it dropped by 42%. So 42%. You see, for a brief moment, Ochivero wasn't a dumping ground. It wasn't a dumping ground for discarded farm workers. It was a community reborn. You know, from there it was really a community reborn. But well, as they always said, here is the kicker. So this was not actually, it was not a charity. It was an investment. You know, the BIG proved that when you give people a floor, when you give people an opportunity, they don't lie down. They build. That shows that. Now, a Professor Mike Simpson, an economist behind the pilot, so called it a redistributive justice in action. So, and it worked because it was universal. It was given to everybody. No mean test, no bureaucratic crap. So just cash in hand. Cash in hand. You know? And that really ignite, I would call it a mini economy. So that ignite, you know, that community now to flourish. So, but then what happened afterwards? After that, when it comes to an end, but by 2009, the pilot ended. If you want to know the details of this, please do subscribe to The Villages book. You can find the stories there by Dwight links, on this story. So the money stopped and the Ochivero's renaissance, unraveled again. So now the reasons why this is a story is because the National Council's report, which was released just last week, it paint a blink after picture. You know, when this stopped, when now the pilots ended, so the picture of that, of that village, of the Ochivero, become really, really, really blink. So the backyard garden wilted. The school uniform were put up for food. You know, teenagers desperately for protein tend to poaching livestock, you know, on the near farms. So those are the stories that you hear. So alcohol abuse surged for people now to escape from the return of hunger, or, you know, that now people are hungry again. So one resident told the lawmakers, our lives haven't been the same since. We are back to being ghosts. So, and think about that. Think about that. A temporary grant didn't just lift people up. It showed them what was possible. It did show them what was possible. When it vanished, the fall was really harder. So, and the committee chairperson, Emma Muteka, put it bluntly, poverty is not a personal failure. It is a police, It is a policy choice. So it is not a personal failure. It is a policy choice. So that's what she said. So, and what is next? So the BIG debate, the committee report urges now the national BIG, synchronized with existing grant. So the grants like pensions and child support. So it should be synchronized. So, but well, you have the critics that said, okay, that scream, you know, critic that scream, where can we afford it? You know? So, yeah, there are those now think, no, can we afford it? So, rightly so, also. I mean, you also have to think, what do you have in your coffer? So what do you have? You cannot just say, okay, this is a good idea, let's do it. But you have to know how much you have. You know, moshigadhi una mwingapi, una moshanga moshigadhi. So, but let's crunch the numbers now here. So, let's see. The pilot cost about 1.2 million annually for 1,000 residents. So, 1.2 million annually for 1,000 residents. Scaling up nationally, roughly 3 billion a year. So 3 billion a year. So, but here is the twist also. You have to understand that when Oshivero thrived, you know, when people have money, this $100. So the business, the local business also benefited. So the local business benefited. The tax revenue rose. The crime cost, you know, fell. And as a professor, Guy Standing argues, it said a BIG is not an expense. It is a dividend, a share of our national wealth. So, yeah. And also, and let's not forget also that when the BIG launched, relatives flocked to Oshivero. So, and that also has reduced the impact, the grant's impact, actually. So because the relatives, you know, they went where there is money. And that's why the national BIG is a key. So because no village becomes a magnet of, because everyone benefited. It doesn't pull everybody. No, now this relative won't flock there because now everybody gets. So yeah. And during the door-to-door visits, committee members hear raw, unfiltered stories. One woman wept, you know, cry out, saying, with BIG, my children ate eggs. You know, now they eat dust. So That's one of the women said. So, and a brick makers also, you know, cried out that I had customers. Now I have nothing. So these are not statistics, my dear. These are not statistics. They are people. They are our people. The BIG didn't just fill stomachs. It restored dignity. So, and as the report notes, residents stopped begging. The report indicated that residents stopped begging and they started planning. So, yeah. And Namibia, as you can see this, we are at the crossroad. Shivero proved that basic income grant can work. Yeah, as much as it can work, but it also exposed the cruelty of temporary solutions. So the BIG is not a magic bullet. It won't fix unemployment for sure or replace jobs. But as Professor Nicole Natrasa reminds us, it is a lifeline, a foundation to build on. So when the grant ended, so did Oshivero hope. So when it ended, and their hope also ended with that. So, and is that the future we want? So that's the questions. So what do you think? Should that be universal, or should be only apply to some communities? So, yeah, you can respond, you can react to that stories as well, which is also found in yesterday's edition of The Villager by Dwight Links. So our telephone number, 081-0833-66-091. So you're most welcome to come through and have your reaction and have your take of the story.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsine Hangano, the Osherero Omaimburiro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Sing Voor Dieren, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-23-58-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
A very good morning to you. And if you're just joining us, we are live on Eagle FM. So good morning and welcome. Summertime is about 6 minutes past the hour of nine. And we were just looking at an article on a BIG that actually looking at the standing committee report on the impact of BIG in the Ochivero. Look at the how the community was before the BIG and how that actually transformed the community. And when it was stopped, immediately, you know, things fall apart. So the whole thing is really shows how, you know, impactful that is. And if that implemented, properly, would actually make a difference. I think that's what the committee trying to say. It would make a difference it's a pilot that was successful. But there are issues as well. So do we have the money actually to have this, to actually have this universal, you know, that everybody get this, how that's actually going to be, how is that going to be administered or implemented? So as you look at the cost just for 1,000 residents in Ochivero, the cost was annually 1.2, and that roughly, if you scale up nationally, that would be around 3 billion a year. So is that the money we have to be able to do that? Would maybe the impact would be more worth pursuing rather than the cost? So yeah, those are some of the questions that we need to look at, and the lawmakers need to look at to see if that is something that worth looking at. So yeah, all right. So what is your point? What is your reaction? What is your view, and your contribution as well to the topic itself? So you're most welcome to come through. Our telephone number again: 0800-333-66-091. 0800-333-66-091. All right, you're most welcome to come through and have your opinion, or have your view on the topic. All right, so our time about 9 minutes past the hour of nine. That still give us enough minutes for you to come through and share your views. All right. So otherwise, we can also look at. I think it's a story. It's a story about, where did I saw that last time? It's a story about, you know, it's about the parliament that pushes for the ban of, Hubbly and vape. So last week, there was, a heated debate in parliament about proposed ban on vaping and Hubbly products. So a parliamentary standing committee released a report urging Namibia to outlaw the import, the sale, the display, and even advertising of this product. So, and to crimp down under 18s buying any form of tobacco or nicotine delivery systems. So now what is really driving this push? So why this become an issue? What what lies beneath the swirling clouds of vapor and festive hubbly pipes. So let's look at some point highlighted in the report. So now, for one, the issue of health. So vaping and hubbly, you know, and hubbly pens are not just about fun flavors, right? They are not just about fun flavors. They deliver nicotine. Okay. This is according to the report. These are not my own words. So a nicotine, a powerful, neurotoxin that actually hijacked the development of adolescents' brain. So scientific evidence shows that brains continue to mature well into the mid-20s. They still continue to mature. So, and nicotine exposures during this critical window can actually impact your attention, impact your learning, and also your mood stability and your impulse control. So that this is scientific evidence that shows that, yes, in your still mid-20s, so the brains continue to still to mature. And so if it exposes to nicotine, if it's exposed to nicotine, that would actually then impair your attention, your learning, concentration, and mood stability, and your impulse control. So, yeah. And animals and humans studies alike confirm that even a brief nicotine use in the youth, you know, can lead to a lasting chances of brain circuits responsible for reward and condition, so increasing the risk of depression and other mental health disorders. So this hubby vaping and hubbly pens and whatever products that are being used has really risk effects on youth. So that's one part. One part is about risk of health. The other issue highlighted is the social pull. You know, peer influence is a powerful force in schoolyards and in campuses. So many young people, many young Namibians, see hubbly as a harmless fun, you know, and even some parents actually see that as a harmless something. And then some families even share a gathering, you know, share this kind of stuff in gatherings. So I have seen that. So, but that harmless, you know, that harmless a label, you know, so the report said that harmless labels actually mask dependency. So, as a nicotine, definitely, you know, over time you become dependent on it. So, and survey have shown, that adolescents are particularly susceptible because of, you know, when they see those colors, devices, you know, and easy accessibility of the flavor products as well. So, and also there's really aggressive market on those stuff as well. So now if you stop, displaying this product openly and ban sales to young people, so you begin actually then to undo, their acceptance as normal. For now, many people, and I said even parents, so they would think, okay, prefer do that rather than actually smoking and doing some other drugs. So, which, as we see, is also a problem. So now, let's talk about economic part. So between 2021 and 2024, Namibia imported over 1.4 billion, 1.4 billion worth of this water pipe, tobacco, vapes, and, you know, and those related mixtures, whatever they call them. So it's 1.4 billion, tenfold jump, you know, that's actually a tenfold jump from 108 million in 2020. So between just 2021 and 2024, so that's actually a tenfold jump from 108 million, from 108 million to 1.4 billion. So that is a booming market. You know, that's a really a booming market, feeding youth addiction. But, well, it's also a corporate profit, you know, when you look at it also on the other side. So, but actually feeding the youth addiction. So, but when you look across the border, Botswana, for example, emergency regulation even banned shisha. I don't know what that shisha is, during COVID-19 lockdown. So no sale, no hire, no exceptions. So which actually demonstrating how regulation can really curb consumption when government have the will to act. So it can be done. So, and when you look, when you think in terms of global stage, Namibia, it's part of it's party to the WHO Framework Convention on Tobacco Control, the FCTC. So one of the most widely ratified treaties in UN history. So to date is what to date is have about 182 nations plus the Union, European Union, have legally bound themselves to reduce both supply and demand for tobacco products through measures like marketing bans, healthy warnings, and youth access restrictions. So being part of that, what being proposed then, our proposed ban, align with these international obligations. So it aligns with this, with this obligation. But the problem normally comes with the execution. So execution, determine whether it saves life or remain just, an ink on paper, as many other, regulations. So yeah, what is being proposed, it really aligned with what we also have signed up internationally. So hopefully, the execution of that, brings some changes in the lives of our young people. So now, and then the other part from there is, NANSO have a online campaign, Lost Thy, what is that? It's in Afrikaans, but it's Lost Thy Coffee or Lost Thy Shoffy. So of raising actually awareness. Yeah. So, but the real change happens in homes and schools. You know, parents need to spot, you know, the vape, you know, those vape rigs. In backpacks, sometimes young youth have those in their backpacks. So, and teacher needs support. They need support to reclaim that classroom time, because sometimes this make these people, young people not be able to concentrate and all that. So, and policymakers need to close the loopholes in our Tobacco Product Control Act. So, covering emerging devices that maybe by that time is something that we didn't know. So and be able to bring laws to update our laws to what is happening now. So yeah. So what do you think? So should Namibia ban vapes and hablis and is it habli? Yeah. So should we ban that right out or outright? Should we ban that just outright? Or maybe because you need also to look at there is there a middle path? You know, maybe tight, a little bit tight regulations, higher taxes could be also a solution. You know, strict age check that people who uses that, the users should be above, you know, the age of 18 or whatever the case may be, or even maybe more. I don't know. So, and how can we protect our youth without really driving the market underground? Because, yeah, given what we see, how that actually even jump tenfold in just 2 years, definitely there's a market. But so how do we make sure that we protect our youth without driving the market underground? So yeah, what is your take? What is your opinion? What are your views? So you may come through our telephone number again. 08 333 66 091. So to come through and have your opinion.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are The Elsine Hangano, The Osherero Omaimburiro, The Catholic Simane Kakarunga, The Afrikaans Sing Voor Diere, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-238-63. You can also email us at digital@omalighty.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafaa sana naana longe shifaa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anage shifaa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa onjika. Zeitha nina omayakuro nirandito mwa yoe, yonge shifaa yoe okupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yo mo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konora hita tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right. A very good morning to you. If you just joining us, our time is about 5 minutes to 25 minutes past the hour of nine. And our program goes up to 9:30. So we still have about 5 minutes for you to come through. If you have opinion or views that you would like to share on the topics that we have covered so far, on the issues and items that we have covered this morning. So we just were looking at the debate, a heated debate in a parliament about the proposed ban on vaping. Is it vaping and Hubbly products? So, and a parliamentary standing committee released a report urging Namibia to outlaw the import of this product, the sale of this product, the display of this product, and even actually advertising of this product. So, and also to really cut down on under 18s buying any form of tobacco or any form of nicotine delivery system. So yeah, which actually vaping and Hubbly actually is doing. Yeah, so what really lies beneath of these, it's a concern, and some actually evidence, maybe scientific evidence. So one of the concern is the issue of health, because the scientific evidence shows that, you know, a brain shows that brain continue actually to mature. When you enter into mid-20s, the brain still continue to mature. Then if you expose during this time, during this critical windows, if you get exposed to nicotine that comes through this vaping and Hubbly, you know, products, so your attention, your concentration, your learning, your mood stability, and your impulse control can be impaired, so can be affected, and that's very important, and that's a concern, you know. So, and also study have shown that even just a brief nicotine use in youth, that can lead to a lasting changes in a brain circuit, you know, the brain circuit that actually responsible for reward and recognitions. So what that means is that, that would actually cause, this is the side that make you, do this over and over and over, until you become addicted. So, and in the long term, that would actually increase the risk of depression and mental health disorders. So, yeah, that was one of the concerns. The other concern is actually the peer influence. So the report feel that the peer influence is a powerful force, in schoolyard and also in campuses. So many young people or many young Namibians see Hubbly as a harmless fun, you know, and something also family, even some other families also share at gatherings. So now what they say that is that that harmless label, you know, actually mask the whole question of dependency. You become more dependent on that. Yeah. So yeah, and because of how these things are, you know, marketed, they look colorful, you know, and they are so easily accessible. You know, those flavors are actually the flavored products are easily accessible. So there's really marketing of this. So yeah, that's the whole issue. And the whole idea now is to say, stop those displaying these products openly and then ban the sales to young people. So that's how you begin to undo the norm, the acceptable norm that this is, it's acceptable. So, yeah. And they also look at, when you look at also the, about the economic part, it really shows that between 2021 to 2024, Namibia imported over 1.4 billion worth of these mixtures and products and tools. So it's actually it jumped from 108 million in 2020. So as you can see that, this is actually a booming market that's feeding our youth about addiction. Actually it's a profit for corporate. So that's the issue, the parliament was, talked about, and, they want to align that with the international obligation to which we ratify some of these, WHO framework convention on tobacco control. But the issue is that the execution, definitely is what would determine, whether that actually saves life or it just remained, an ink on the paper. So, well, and that's actually bring us to the end of our edition for our episode of Unpacking the Day Today. Continue to listen to other programs that are coming your way this morning and this afternoon. So, and coming up is Mind the Gap with Helmut. From me, Michael Chiavelli, until tomorrow again. Bye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Oulio mnangeshefa no wahara kushivifa oma akuro yo kupitira mohorike radio station yo Eagle FM. Enya mukuro olongaha. Ningi kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosho ipindi kono raheta tuimwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 081-7147-116. Mwamberewa kono raheta tu natu, mbali o heta tu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Nenge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo umone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM.
Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.